2FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, online at bizradio.co.uk and syncportsradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello, Jill Serkin.
Hello.
You've lost weight.
It's just ridiculous because
You're skinny.
I've given four huge bin liners of clothes.
You don't want to do that. In my dressing room.
Oh, I know.
I have four sides of my dressing room.
All navy blue shirts.
They're all navy blue shirts, but they're all different sizes.
Yeah, but that's what I had as well. I had 20s, I had 16s. From when the NHS...
You had the 1920s?
I had the 20s, the 16s, the
18s. You're not that old, are you?
Charleston.
She is.
Charleston.
She's that old, Simon. She's from the night. Did you have a flapper skirt?
No, I did not have a flapper. I've got flapper arms.
Yeah, yeah, bingo wings.
My age. Yes. But, you know, I had a good spring clean. And I realised that, you know, when the NHS didn't treat my thyroid correctly, I was a size... I was 16 stone six. I was a size 20.
Good grief.
And I kept saying to them, you know, I don't feel very well. And they have said, just keep taking the levothyroxine. Yeah. You'll be fine. But anyway, yeah, so good. I'm very perky. But
so what are you now then, size-wise?
I'm a 14, even a 12 some. Yeah, I had to buy new bras. I've lost...
I don't want to know that.
I've lost about 3 inches off my back, just from my back. So my bras were like flapping about. And the trousers, I've gone, I'm now in a 14. Yeah, which is, so I'm the same sort of size as when I met new husband 30 years ago.
He must be chuffed.
But I was a lot fitter then. Right. I don't know. I said to him, did you like me fat or thin? And he said, he loves me either way.
Who are you?
Song about that.
Sorry, I don't recognise you.
Don't go changing.
Yeah.
Barry White said. But, you know, I'm doing it for my health, not for weight. So the weight is a great bonus. Mm. But I don't want to lose too much. I don't want to look like some, you know, when people lose weight they're elderly, they start looking a bit like a tortoise, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially when they're men of certain age with no hair.
Yeah, why is she looking at me?
Simon, you know what I mean. I mean, Simon's got a lovely head of hair.
He has, hasn't he?
He's got a lovely head of hair.
It's not fair, really, is it?
No.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, and also, this is our guest, who we'll be talking to later, but, Simon Hammond, he has come in. I mean, you and I are in sort of...
civvies.
Bit sloppy, aren't we, really? I'm in jeans.
Simon's an insurance broker.
He has to look amazing.
No,
like
but
that.
He's a professional. He's a professional, so he dresses like a professional.
It's a uniform.
He's got a fabulous three-piece suit and a tie and a shirt. I don't even own a suit anymore.
Well, because you can't get into them anymore, can you?
That's true. Yeah, that's true. They don't make suits my size.
So I had a good... because the sun came out once. Do you remember? About a month ago, the sun came out. And... I had a good spring clean and I got four bin liners of very nice clothes in all different sizes and shapes, and quite nice brands. So I've given them all to the Greyhound Festival, that's coming up on the 3rd.
They'll never fit a Greyhound.
For people to buy. Oh, I like
if you see a Greyhound running around in a floral print dress, you know they got it from Jules. Yeah.
And it's at Mount Ephraim. Do you say Ephraim or Ephraim?
Ephraim.
I say Ephraim and people have been saying Ephraim, and I thought I was wrong. That would be double E, wouldn't it?
You know, what it is there's two Mount Ephraims or Mount Ephraims in Kent. There's one in Faversham and one in Tunbridge Wells. So I think the Faversham lot go Ephraim and the Tunbridge Wells lot go Ephraim.
Or
the other way around.
Is there a mount there in both of the places?
Yes, yeah.
So like a hill?
Yeah.
Hill. Yeah.
Ephraim in Tunbridge Wells is the ridge that overlooks the town.
Okay. Yeah, because it's quite hilly there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, there'll be a load of bags of my clothes. But Julia, who runs the Greyhound Fest, was trying on a lot of my stuff because I dumped it at her house. Mm. And she said, oh, you do show a lot of cleavage, she said. She said, oh, I don't like cleavage. And you do wear a lot of sleeveless vests, she said. So she didn't really like some of it. Mm. But then I put these jeans on and I thought they'd fit, but then they don't really fit. They're not very nice. So we'll see what happens. I finish the protocol, the 90-day protocol.
So you're going to get fat again.
On Thursday. No, I'll tell you why. But then on Friday, I'm going out for a meal with Rebecca Nutt.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
No, that will end it.
And we're going to Keebles in Broadstairs with my friend.
For how many days?
A couple of days, probably. Luncheon.
Her and Bex go on a pub crawl that tends to last, you know, like a week.
The trouble is, I haven't had a drink, Simon, for 90 days.
It'll go straight to your head.
It's good. I'm going to be, it's really hard because it's so, you know what I've got into though? So when the sun came out the other day, which was a bit of a shock for us all, we were in the garden, me and new husband doing a few, I planted some sweet peas and things. And, we had our dinner in the garden. It was a bit nippy, but we decided we'd be brave. And we had roast chicken and all the veg and, organic chicken, of course. And I said, I have a San Pellegrino, please, with a slice of lime in a wine glass. And that sort of does it. I really like San Pellegrino. And if you haven't tried it, it's really nice. And I jazz it up.
It's water, yeah?
It's fizzy Italian water. Yeah. San Pellegrino. Yeah. But it's got a nice flavour.
Yeah.
And I took it to our son's new pad in Deptford. He pretends it's Greenwich, but it's Deptford. Really.
It's Greater Greenwich.
Northern
Greenwich. Or Lewisham, as it's normally called. Yeah.
So they've got a really nice pad, Shane Mimi, with a little roof terrace, which is very pleasant. So I call it a penthouse, you know. I've actually changed his address to penthouse 604. And he goes, Mom, the concierge won't find. But they have. So now I've added, what, 500 quid or something to his profit.
The
I don't
value
know.
Of the flat.
Yeah, penthouse.
It's now a penthouse. Yeah. Okay.
And it's North Greenwich. So when we were there, I took a bottle of San Pellegrino and I took some booze and stuff. And he got into San Pellegrino.
Yeah.
He said, can I have some, Mum? So it was like a real thing. So everybody go and try some.
Isn't there...
Because you're teetotal anyway, so you know, I could go out with you now, it'd be fine.
Exactly.
Because I used to go out with you and you'd get a bit bored because I'd keep drinking and I thought I was funny. And
After 2 hours it gets on your nerves being with drunks.
I actually didn't know you were teetotal. Yeah, I've known you for years.
Did you not know that?
No, I didn't. Yeah. No.
That's why he's so lithe.
That's why I'm so fat, yeah.
But... well, the other thing I was saying with the new husband, because the new husband's been very supportive, and I bought him a beautiful Easter egg, a really nice Easter egg. I bought my mum one, bought the kids one, and he hasn't had it, and he hid it in the cupboard so I didn't keep looking. Because you know when you're in the lounge and it's there, you know, and you're at a low ebb and it's cold and, you know, got the northern wind. We can't afford windows in our house. I mean, we have got windows, but they're 1980s. They're double glazed, but it's terrible. Literally, the herbs and the plants just wave when that north wind goes. Talking of north winds and insurance.
This job doing this show is the easiest thing in the world. I just turn her microphone on and then we all go for a cup of tea while she waffles on.
Talking of north winds, this is one for Simon. This is insurance. So we were dog sitting yesterday for Julia and Steve, who had to go out, and we had... 6 greyhounds, they rescue, and 2 galgos. Do you know what a galgo
is? 2 what?
Galgos.
No.
Where'd she go?
Well, galgos. They're Spanish hunting dogs. They look just like greyhounds. And the galgueros are the Spanish hunters that don't treat them very well. And they make them run after hares and things, which they'll eat, you know, they'll cook the hares. And they're starved. And then when they're too old to run and catch the hares, they get chucked out, or worse.
Mm.
So there's a big rescue for galgos. So I went to meet this new galgo called Avery, who's lovely, and we think she might be moving in with us with Darcy, our greyhound rescue, but the new husband's not having it. He says no. But there's a campaign going on. But anyway, while we're there, and they were out, and we were helping ourselves, you know, everything was there. We got a phone call, and the new husband's catamaran. See what I did there? Because I used to say meringue, didn't I?
I don't know where this conversation's going. I'm waiting on tenterhooks to find out where a Spanish cow goes, catamarans, and north wind all coalesce into a lucid story.
We were out in the garden, dodging the showers, with the galgo, and I tucked her up. I've put photos on my Twitter, tucked her up. She's quite nervous. And of course, doesn't speak English. I go, care?
Oh, yeah.
It's like being with Manuel, you know.
Yeah. It's a Siberian Amsterdam, Mr. Fulty. Yeah.
Care? I go, hola, guapa. That's better. Anyway, so we got this phone call. Your catamaran has blown over onto Tankerton Promenade. Poor new husband.
Right.
And of course, he's miles away. We were in Aylesford.
No, you weren't. You're in Aylesbury.
Aylesham.
You were in. Near Canterbury.
Yeah. Aylesham, is it?
It's Aylsham, yes.
Somewhere.
Not Aylesford or Aylesbury.
No.
Aylsham.
Aylsham.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was there, near Bridge and all
yeah.
these
Yeah, we've got a story about Bridge later on.
Can't wait. We'll bridge that gap in a minute. So, anyway, his whole mast has gone.
Oh.
Big damage. And it also catapulted the catamaran into somebody else's boat because it's the sailing club and they're all lined up. Could have killed somebody on the promenade. I mean, literally, yeah. it was blown over. So he got onto the insurance and we're waiting. So they sent us an email, but he'll need a new pole and, of course, the other ladies thing. Mm. But if that had killed somebody, would he have been insured? Because it is really dangerous when it's windy down there. I've often walked by with the dog and thought, God, these boats, they flip.
Well,
and they're chained down.
Yeah, there should be some public liability cover there, I'd have thought, but I obviously can't comment without seeing the...
No, you'll have to come in your shorts and have a little sail.
Yeah. Well, that sounds awful.
No. Once the mast is, you know, built, yeah. obviously. Because I do jib, you know, I jib.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he does all the roughy-tough stuff. I just jib. But anyway, so yeah, these north winds, it was a bit of a hoolie, wasn't it, last night? I had to put the heating on last night. It was freezing. So here's my idea, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, go on.
I now see why people love this, you know, because a lot of us are working from home. It gets a bit boring because all I do is...
You should work in a co-working space.
Exactly.
You don't want to work at home.
Getting out is very liberating because, you know, Julie said, there's the coffee, there's the tea.
Working at home is not good for your mental health.
It's not. And because all I do when I'm at home is cook a meal, serve it, go back to work, take some washing out, hang it up, go back to work, clear away another meal. The new husband wants coffee. Oh, it's constant. So we went there. It was very nice. So I was seeing there's a company called, what is it called, where you can stay in other people's homes.
Oh, right.
For a free holiday.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it's called. Listeners will know. And also you can look after other people's dogs. So if I wanted to go to Greece.
House swap.
Yeah, but with pets.
Pet swap.
Yeah, pet swap. So you have their dog, their Greek dog, and they have your English greyhound.
What's the point of
that? Darcy. It means you get a holiday and they get a holiday.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
So you swap like for like.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. What do you think, Simon?
Oh, it's a great idea. A friend of mine's done it before.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what the... there's a few websites, but there's one specific for pets.
Mm.
So, yeah, we looked after 6 greyhounds very well, I think. I think I rather overfed them.
Why exactly were you looking after greyhounds, a whole pack of them?
Because Julia and Steve are amazing, and they run Greyfest. Julia's been on the show.
Yeah, I know that.
Little pink dog collars, on Twitter.
Yeah, I know that,
And they rescue. They've got 6.
Yeah, but why were you... my question was...
Oh, I offered, because they were going out, and they can't leave them. I mean, who's going to... I'm just... So you, but they're having Darcy when I'm in Ibiza.
So you had 6 greyhounds.
Yeah.
I hope you
two were galgos.
I hope you set up a track and took money. Yeah.
I'll
bet each way on the number one dog.
Well, Darcy is very fast, but they are couch potatoes. They only need 20 minutes running, and then they just loll and sleep, and they like
to
cuddle. Yeah, a bit like you.
Yeah.
So they can't sit, can they? They have to lay down.
They have no bottom. But I have taught Darcy, she's quite unusual. They have muscles there. There's no bottom, but she will sit. And when we first had her, she just used to wobble from side to side, but now she'll give a paw.
Ooh.
So she's very intelligent.
Very good.
Ah. Yeah.
So she holds on.
Yeah.
Like on the tube, you've got a strap.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Okay, all right.
But the other thing I was thinking when I drove in this morning, Paul Andrews, as you asked, the amount of signs everywhere on the road. It's like a signage. And, you know, I'm coming out of Whitsville. Again, the A299, the Thanet Way, Simon, you probably know that. It's now 40 miles, 40 miles an hour, digging up everything. Roads closed everywhere. And then 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour. And then there's this new one, Millstrood Road, traffic calming area.
I'll tell you what really drives me potty at the moment. I don't know if you've seen this. No, there's so many roadworks about.
Yeah.
And you go down a road and there's a sign that says road closed. But it doesn't tell you which road is closed. And quite often now I go, I'm going to ignore that because I bet this one, it isn't the one that's closed. And you drive down there about 2 miles and then you find it's a side road that's closed.
Right, yes. Yeah.
But the problem with that is you just don't know whether you can get through or not. It's
they're saying that they can't hear and there's static.
Static?
Yeah. So they can't hear us. No sound.
No sound at all?
Yeah. What are you doing wrong?
Nothing. How are they listening?
Well, Wayne listened last week, and also, I'm just telling them, Also, Martin Reeves, he listened last week, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Cool, Mikey.
Mm. Otherwise, well, I'll tell you what, let's play some cheesy tunage.
Yeah.
And then when we come back, we'll have sorted that out, hopefully.
Yeah, you call techies.
Yeah, here we go.
Cheesy tunage, shall we... Oh, Simple Simon. Who was it by?
Sorry about that. All the people that were struggling to listen there, one of the things went offline, but it's now back online.
It was an app, apparently.
Mm. Yeah, it's the online app. It's,
that's why I don't like apps.
It had gone offline. So can you just check with everybody that they can hear now?
Yeah, they're saying working now. Tracy, hello, Tracy. She's listening. You can follow Tracy on at Tazi, T-A-Z-I-64. She's a personal growth mentor. She's a trainer, and you can also find her as the owner of Plucky's World, P-L-U-C-K-Y-S World. And she says the time to do what you love is now. So follow Tracy, T-A-Z-I-64. And Wayne Cunnington says, we can hear. I tell you what, you missed 20 minutes of Greyhound talk.
I know. It was brilliant. It wasn't deliberate, honestly. Yeah, we cut out all the rubbish. No, I'm not entirely sure what happened there. For some reason, the app that broadcasts via the link had gone down. We think we may have had a power cut or something at some point.
Yeah, we'll have to check that every week. To make sure.
Well, it looked like it was running, but obviously it had hung up in some way and I had to restart it.
And the main thing, our little pink dog collars has just said that they can hear as well. So you'll have to listen back on the listen again to hear.
Yeah, because the recording will be fine. Yeah.
You'll hear all about Galgos.
You haven't missed anything. Simon and I haven't got a word in yet.
No. I think the main problem I'm finding today is I'm quite tired and normally I'd have a little coffee.
Well, have a
little
sleep.
Caffeine.
Have a snooze
nap.
Now.
Have
a little nap now.
A little nap.
Yeah. Have a little nap. While you're having a little nap, don't snore, though.
No, I don't snore.
No, because it'll interfere with the microphone.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I've got a few tweets that we can read. Sarah Marsh Collins, I will be listening, although I may be a tad tardy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I'm listening to the right station this week as well. Yeah. Good. Well, welcome, Sarah. I hope you're listening. And, yes, we are on Biz Radio or Syncport Radio these days. Tracy Ferguson, as you just said, is listening in now that it works.
And Martin Reeves would like a little mention. He's used the B-Bunker hashtag for a mention, so he will get one. And he says, please can you mention Collector's Buddy? He, Martin is, as I said on the Twitter, Collector's Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y. He's a founder of Collector's Buddy with hidden disabilities. He says he's seeking a salary to get off disability, and he fundraises for charities by selling TV and film, toys and props. So you can find him on collectorsbuddy.org.uk. Give him a follow. And he's got some amazing stuff that he finds on the, maybe he'll go to Greyfest with some of his finds. You never know.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. I had a tweet from a lady called Winifred who says she's got nudes in her profile.
Oh, I keep getting those.
Block. I know, I get 40 of those a day.
It's just crazy. Yeah. But I, apparently there's no point in blocking them, but I report them as spam because I just, it's annoying.
Yeah.
So do you think it's any good reporting them as spam? Or am I wasting my
time?
At
the moment, Elon Musk has said that they are starting to redo their algorithms to try and cut out all the porn spam and the crypto spam, which I get 50 of those a day.
I mean, I don't want to see ladies' bottoms, really, particularly. Well, I don't know why they target me.
Well, they just target anyone.
Yeah, but I lost 1,000 followers overnight. So I think that was the, they were getting rid of a load of bots.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything.
Very catty today. Very catty, Simon.
Yeah, yeah. Gravesham for Business, as part of Gravesham Council, have tweeted us. They said, if you haven't had the pleasure of a shout out on the Business Bunker show before, give it a go. There's nothing to lose but exposure to gain for you and your business. Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you to say so.
And the Super Chips and Dinks are dinking and chipping away, and they say it's always lovely at shout outs on Business Bunker, supporting our business and spreading the word. You can find them on chipsanddinks.co.uk. Okay, and they do exactly what you think. They repair your dents and scratches and scuffs on any hard surface, inside buildings or on vehicles to an exceptionally high standard. They did my alloys, you know.
Right.
Very well. And Orbital.
They're very good.
They are really good. And they do damp and stuff as well now.
They do mould, yeah.
So they've branched out.
Yeah.
Orbital Internet Group, did you read them?
No, I haven't. You need to read. Is that about their lady?
Ladies.
Yeah.
Ladies and leadership. So yeah. It's, hi, Paul and Jules. Following on from our Business Bunker slot a couple of weeks ago, as promised, here is the info for our Ladies in Leadership event. Please feel free to give a shout out. So just to tell you where it is, it's at the Royal Ascot.
Yeah.
How amazing. It's on the 10th of May, 11 till 6 p.m. And it's the Peroni Nastro Azzurro racing weekend. No greyhounds there, I don't think.
Horses.
Yeah, but it's very similar. You know, when you watch the greyhounds run.
Horses are much bigger.
Yeah, but same
and they don't like
format.
Bones.
No, they don't like bones, that's true. But when you look at all the sire, who sired who. I mean, my Darcy is quite famous, her father, you know, very famous. The heritage. And it's the same with horses, isn't it? They always say...
Thoroughbreds.
Yeah.
You have to have that to be accredited as a thoroughbred.
As a greyhound.
Well, no, any thoroughbred of anything, whether it's a horse or a dog of any description.
Yeah.
To be a thoroughbred, you have to have their genetic history.
Yeah, Darcy's, her great-grandfather was American, apparently.
Blimey.
So anyway, this day is... join us for a day at the races, they say. Corporate hospitality box, which we love. And it's a networking event for women in senior leadership at SME and large enterprise businesses. So you can register your interest by going to an email, which is marketing@orbital, orbital.net. There you are. And that's the 10th of May. That would be great. What a great event.
Cool. Oh, my phone's gone off now. Michael Park Surveyors have tweeted, thank you so much, Paul and Jules. We would love a Business Bunker shout out today. Please send our best to Simon, your guests, and all your listeners.
Oh,
so thank you for that. That's Michael Park's Commercial Property Surveyors, based on the Medway City Estate in Rochester and covering the southeast of England for all your commercial property needs.
Little Pink Dog Collars have sent a picture. Miss Darcy gave up waiting to hear her mum and she's gone to sleep. How rude. You can find them on littlepinkdog.co.uk. They make bespoke and unusual dog collars, embroidered items and fabulous printed things. Your imagination is your only limitation. So there we are. If you fancy one.
I've got a picture on my Twitter of your breakfast.
Oh, yeah. I ran out of bacon.
Yeah, I can see. You got half a dozen eggs as normal.
Yeah.
How many eggs do you actually have for breakfast?
That was three, yeah, with thyme.
You have three fried eggs?
Yeah, fried in beef fat of my roast beef that I did.
And then you run out of bacon, so what? You've got pancetta there or something?
Parma ham, yeah.
Parma ham.
Or it might be, was it Parma ham? Or is it, what's the other one called, the thin one?
Prosciutto
it might be, yeah. But no additives. All I do is read labels. So if it's got no sugar or salt, M&S is one of the worst. If you go and buy ready-cooked meats in packages, you know, if I'm on the road, that's what I would grab. Full of sugar.
Yep.
They've actually got sugar in it added. So you're buying a savoury, but it's sugar. So now what I do is I buy from my butcher a joint of beef, roast it, slice it up, and we have that for snacks, like a cold, you know, if we're, new husband has it in a sandwich and I have it with lettuce or whatever, just as a quick snack on the road.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you got a boiled egg?
Today I've got some nuts for my journey home.
No boiled egg?
Well, no, because I had three eggs.
Normally brings a boiled egg with her.
Two in a jam jar that I noshed on the way home, but I've got some cashews and a green apple. I really don't like green apples. That's my one thing.
You got cashews. I hope they're unsalted.
No, I can have salt. I'm fine.
Salt's bad for you.
No, salt's good for you. You need the iodine.
My doctor told me I mustn't have salt.
Would you believe an NHS doctor, though? Do you really?
I've got hypertension. It's caused by salt.
No.
Yeah.
I don't believe you. You can have Herbamare. Just put herbs on instead. Herbamare. I've got some at home. I'll bring some in.
On salad?
Herbamare.
On salad. I'm not going to put it on
salad,
am I?
You don't put salt on salad, do you?
No, that's all I'm allowed to eat. I'm only allowed to eat salad.
Are you a rabbit?
No, I'm only allowed to eat salad.
Rubbish. You need to have protein.
Mm.
Otherwise you'll be hungry. What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Nothing. I don't have breakfast.
What did you have for brunch?
I had crayfish tail salad.
Oh.
Oh. That shot
Why don't
up,
you just have three eggs like me with some Parma ham?
Because I'm not allowed to eat things like Parma ham.
You can have egg.
And where am I going to cut an egg while I'm here?
Oh, isn't there a cooker there?
No.
You only live next door. Pop next door. Boil an egg.
And fry an egg. Yeah.
Why don't you bring some boiled eggs in a jam jar like I do?
Because I bought crayfish tails and salad, which I ate, and rye bread.
Obviously, I don't have bread.
Rye bread.
I think that's where you're going wrong. And bread's got a lot of salt in.
Yeah. That's why I have rye bread, because there isn't any salt in it. Athelbray Limited have been on. They said, can we have a business banker shout out, please? We would like you to thank on our behalf the amazing paramedic and hospital staff at the Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells NHS Trust for their care this last week. It was very traumatic for the whole family, but their speedy response literally saved a life. It's not always great, but we're forever grateful for their help. Well, thank you for that. And it's always nice to praise people when they do things for you. And, you know, we quite often on this show take the NHS to task, but the reality is the frontline staff have an incredibly difficult job to do, and on the whole they do it really well. It's just the structure of the NHS that causes problems and the poor management.
Christine Bickley, my nutritionist, told me something astounding, and I can't really say it properly.
And you're not going to tell me?
I can't say it properly because I wrote it down, but it was something about the statistics of the amount of money that's spent on diabetes.
Yeah.
It was like practically the whole budget is spent on diabetes.
Yeah.
Because people are eating rubbish.
Yeah.
But in a way, it's not really even public's fault. It's the manufacturers, the food manufacturers are really drug pushers. Everything has got fat, salt and sugar in.
Diabetes is at epidemic proportions.
Because we follow America. We don't follow Italy France
and
countries that have proper lunches. We follow America.
Mm-hmm.
We've got McDonald's 24 hours.
Processed foods. Yeah. The funny thing is, if you actually read up on diabetes, they don't actually know what causes it.
Well, isn't it just eating loads of carbs?
No.
And they
recommend not eating carbs. What they say is to attempt to reverse type 2 diabetes. You won't reverse type 1 diabetes.
No, because it's autoimmune.
Yeah. But to reverse type 2 diabetes, the only really effective thing is to lose weight and exercise. We don't want to do that.
You know, I love exercise. I love it. I'm quite motivated. I swim and I walk the dog twice a day.
Do you still exercise swimming? Do you play cricket still?
Oh, gosh, no, I'm too old for that now. I'd love to still play.
A lot of cricket players then go into refereeing and things,
No, not for me. No, I go to the gym, try and go two or three times a week. I go for a swim straight after each session. I play golf, family walks, cycling.
So you're active, yeah. And you look good, you look
active. Yeah, it looks like a racing snake, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It looks like a greyhound.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think exercise also for brain. If I don't get out and walk, you know, in the depths of winter, our winters go on and on. If I don't get out by about 4 o'clock when it's dark, I would get Eeyore. You know Eeyore.
Yeah.
So that's the good thing about having a dog. You have to go out. So, but very rarely do I not go for a walk, even in the blasting winds and rain that we've had. But, have you got a dog?
No, I'm horrendously allergic to them, unfortunately, and I love them to pieces.
There are certain, there's a cat that my sister-in-law has, Andrea, and she's allergic to dander or whatever it is. In their hair, and she's got a cat. She managed to find one, very expensive, big fluffy thing, and there's no allergy to it.
Wow.
It's kind of bizarre. So there are some pets that exist. And then I also read about a shampoo that you can wash them with that takes the dander out as well. But yeah, are you allergic to other things like pollen and...
Not so bad on the hay fever side, but the horses are horrendous. Yeah. Anywhere near a horse, that's terrible.
My daughter grew up, she had a horse on loan, and she always used to get an itchy throat. Mm. And she, when she comes home, she gets an itchy throat when she comes to our house. We've got feathers in the sofa as well.
Oh, okay.
But she still comes. Yeah, she puts up with it.
Cetirizine, I think.
She goes, Mum, my throat. Yeah. And she's a bit strange with salmon. But she loves fish, but she gets a scratchy throat with fish. So, yeah.
Cool.
We think maybe your nettles would help.
Hopefully.
Yeah, because you're big on nettles, aren't you?
I love my nettle tea.
We have a networking event coming up, which I must let you know about. It's on the 25th of April. You can go to, I'll read out the website, but as always, it's always on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. All the events we discuss, even Greyfest, is on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. So you can go to Marsh, the network breakfast meeting, and breakfast is really my favourite meal. And it's at the Ship Inn, which is in the High Street at Dymchurch. There's a little sat-nav here if you want it. It's T for Tiger, N for Norman, 29 O-N for Norman, S for Sugar. And it's the 25th of April, 7:45 to 9:15 for the breakfast. And to book, go to marshnetwork.co.uk or kentbusinessradio.co.uk and follow the link.
Is that our Terry Botfield?
Yes.
Bless him.
Terry Botty.
Mm. He's coming on the show in a couple of weeks, huh?
Good.
Yeah. When have we got Adrian on? Adrian?
I haven't arranged the date for him yet, and I must do that. Adrian will be on shortly too.
Yeah, he's a pet taxi. He's quite interesting as well.
Kent Social Enterprise Club. This is an organisation run by Kent Social Enterprise, and it's for people that are running CICs and social enterprises, not-for-profit businesses, and they have a regular meeting, and their next one is April the 18th, which is the day after next. And it's a Zoom meeting.
Is that the rain?
It is chucking it down.
It is absolutely falling it down on top of the studio.
Do you know, we're in a very substantial building, listener, and I just heard this sort of...
Pitter-patter.
Yeah.
And we're all looking around going, what's that? It's rain on the roof.
And we're in a soundproof studio with a great big high ceiling. What's the roof made out of? Tin. So it's like a tin cat, hot tin cat on a hot roof or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing.
In fact, Simon's flabbergasted.
Yeah.
Well, we did have hail yesterday.
He's worried about all the claims he's going to have for flooding.
listeners who tuned in because our app wasn't working, before you manage to tune in, do listen to the first 17 minutes because we were discussing my new husband's boat that is completely catapulted onto the promenade, and I was saying, imagine if it had actually hit somebody, it would have killed them. And it's damaged a boat, and my poor new husband's very upset because he's got to pay for a new, whatever that's called, sail.
Mast.
Marsh, that's it.
Kent, shall I finish this?
Yeah.
The Kent Social Enterprise Club.
Now the rain stopped.
Have a Zoom meeting for anybody that wants to join on Thursday, April the 18th. It's a weekly online get-together for people in Kent interested in learning about the world of social enterprise. This week, they're going to be looking into the foundations of your social enterprise and the business model that you're operating. If you want to join in, it's capenterprise.co.uk/event details. So that's capenterprise.co.uk/event details to find out about the Kent Social Enterprise Club online meeting.
And Tracy says, interesting discussion on diabetes. She said, I've managed to reverse my blood sugar from pre-diabetes to normal over 18 months without losing weight or exercising other than walking, purely by diet. So she's doing similar to me.
Right.
And I really notice how much inflammation is. It's much more painful if I eat high sugar, carb food.
Yeah.
Totally agree on that. I said to Christine Bickley, my nutritionist, who's amazing, and she's on Twitter. She's at Bickley200 off the top of my head, that I feel like I've been oiled. So I must have had so much inflammation, apart from losing weight, which it wasn't the main reason, but cutting out sugar, everything feels more fluid. It seems hard. It's hard to describe, but I just feel more flexible.
Yeah.
It's very strange. So that must be what Tracy's saying. I wonder whether Tracy can feel that too.
The problem is that sugar is in absolutely everything. Even very savoury products are laced with tons and tons of sugar.
You have to cook from scratch and you've got to be, you know, like I food prep. And food prep is big at the moment anyway, I think. A lot of youngsters food prep. But, I mean, my daughter, Sid, works really, really hard in London and she food preps on a Sunday and cooks like meals for the week. Which I think is great, you know.
Yeah, batch cooking.
Yeah.
Like your mum used to.
Old fashioned. Yeah, it's exactly. Good. Yeah, well done, Tracy, anyway, on that. That's a great result.
It's good news. Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you about a change of subject completely. This is the results of a survey conducted at the beginning of January 2024 on UK tax policies. And the survey shows that the tax policies are restricting business growth and innovation. This is according to new research by UK top 10 accountancy advisory firm Azetts, which has five offices across Kent. Azetts barometer of January 2024 survey reveals average scores of just below the neutral mark of 5. So they have a scale of 1 to 10, 5 being in the middle, and nearly all the responses were below 5, related to the UK tax regime's ability to strongly promote or inhibit in key areas, including business growth, innovation, sustainability, and the attraction and retention of talent. So the scores in those key areas were business growth 4.7, innovation 4.8, sustainability 4.7, and retention of talent was 4.7. So they were all in the bottom half of the survey. The research suggests that the prevailing tax environment isn't significantly aiding businesses. The score is driven largely by smaller businesses that feel more inhibited than larger enterprise firms, which is always the case, isn't it? Because they pass rules, laws and regulations that suit big businesses that they can cope with, and us in small businesses can't because we don't have the resources to do the silly stuff that they want us to do.
Yeah, I know. Well, you were saying that, Simon, weren't you, off air?
Yeah.
About your are you going to tell us after the break?
I can do if you want me to, yeah, no problem.
There's a significant disparity between the lower and upper mid-market as businesses worth between 20 and 50 million turnover view the tax regime as broadly neutral, while those with 50 million up turnover are more positive, or they would be, but they're still only scoring an average of 6 in terms of its viability. Praveen Gupta, who's the UK head of tax at Azetts, emphasised the need for a progressive tax system that benefits all businesses and promotes growth and investment in critical areas such as innovation and sustainability initiatives. Our tax system is wildly out of whack these days. It's just not effective at all. And the funny thing is, it means that tax revenues will eventually come down because people can't cope with it anymore, businesses go bust.
they stopped doing work. Because I've got a really interesting one. I've got a dilemma with this.
A dilemma?
I have a dilemma with this. In the last budget, the government raised the threshold for VAT up to from 85,000, what it was, to 90,000. So until, because it was a well-known fact that there's a massive cliff edge. So many small businesses get up to 75,000 turnover and then stop working.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't want to register for VAT.
Yeah.
And they do cash jobs and stuff like that. Yeah. The revenue weren't collecting money. Yeah. And it wasn't working. So they've put the threshold up, but all that's going to do is move it slightly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, the reason I have a dilemma is I'm not a fan of tax. If I'm really honest, I'm not a massive fan. I know we all have to contribute to society, and I don't mind doing that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the tax regime at the moment is ludicrous. Yeah. Things like business rates are just extortionate.
Yeah.
They're just grifting.
Well, there's no help for small businesses.
Yeah. But the thing that interests me, because I have connections with businesses in France, for instance, every single business has to register for VAT. There is no threshold. And if you think about it from an egalitarian point of view, that's kind of fair, isn't it?
Is it called VAT out there? What's it called?
TVA.
Okay.
You know what the French like to do, everything backwards.
So everybody, once you start work, you pay.
Once you start a business, whether you're a sole trader or anything else, you have to register for VAT. Because if you think about it, small traders, people below the threshold, have got a 20% price advantage.
Because
they don't have to.
And as you said, there's no incentive to do any more.
Yeah. And that's the real problem, is you get these cliff edges. I mean, there's cliff edges all the way through the tax system. Income tax is the worst. You know, there are some cliff edges that are just ridiculous. I was reading some work from a tax specialist, a tax lawyer the other day, who was saying it is possible to get into a position where you are actually paying over 100% on a small part of your income in taxes because of the way that thresholds and other things work. It's only a small window that happens in. And if you get past that, it kind of eases a little bit. But there are lots and lots of cliff edges with tax that just needn't be there.
I don't even know how in France, how their national health system, how their health system works, because I know it seems to work better than ours.
France's health system is the number one health system in the world, according to the WHO. The way it works is what's called co-pay, and it's an insurance-based system. So basically, you take out a health insurance policy that is regulated by the government. Yeah. So the health insurance is provided by independent providers, but it's regulated. So the price is the same no matter who you take it through.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's mandated by the government.
Yeah.
So they can't rip you off for it. And it is a comprehensive health insurance. It's not like here when you join a health scheme where, you know,
you get this and you get that.
You get this and you get that until
mine
you run
is out, rocketed because
yeah,
I've used
until
it.
You've
it's
run
awful.
Out of money. There is no concept of running out of money on these insurance health schemes because they're backed by the government.
So it's for life. As well.
Sorry?
Like even if you're elderly.
Yeah, and even if you can't contribute, you still get the insurance policy from the government.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're unemployed or you're, incapacitated, you still get free healthcare. The reason that it's co-pay is to make a GP's appointment, you have to pay.
Okay.
But you get the money back, or you get a large proportion of the money back if you actually turn up for the appointment.
I think they do that in the Republic of Ireland as well.
Yeah, it sounds much better, doesn't it, Simon?
Yeah,
that?
It's €25 for a doctor's appointment. And if you turn up for the appointment and you're ill, then you get like 90% of it back. If you don't turn up, or you turn up and you're pulling a wall, there's nothing wrong with you, then you don't get the money back.
Yeah, but that's a bit difficult, isn't it? Because, it's like on the doctor's hearsay. Say somebody really genuinely thinks something's wrong.
Yeah.
And then the doctors actually know you're just a malingerer, go away.
Yeah.
That's just one person's word against another.
Yeah, it's only cost you €25. So.
Oh, yeah, but to some people that's quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
The thing
like everything else, like most other countries in the world, for people that haven't got any money, it's available free at the point of use. So, you can... If you're unemployed or on benefits, then you have a ticket that says that. So you don't pay the money. You just go, the government will pay.
I often find that this whole thing where you have to go through a GP slows everything down because we know you can't get GP's appointments very easily. Yeah. And my mum, Ruth, needs to see a knee specialist. Mm. But I have to wake up at 8 a.m. and be held in a queue yeah. to try and get my mum to speak to the doctor. Whereas what I should be able to do, she can't walk. I know she needs a knee specialist. I know the knee specialist I want, Helmut Zahn. He did my knee. And I just need to phone up his secretary and book an appointment and take the x-ray that she's got to him. But no, I have to go through the GP first, who's busy. And all she'll do is phone my mum. She won't look at her knee and then say, well, you better come in. So that's two appointments. When all I need to do is go straight to that consultant. You know, most people have got a brain and know what they need. So obviously some people might need just a GP, but most people know if it's a knee, you know, if you can't walk and you know that your knee, my mum was told 8 years ago she needed a knee replacement, but she'd been trying to hold it off because of her age.
Right.
But getting to see a GP is terrible.
Yeah. In France, I have a 20-minute service level.
What does that mean?
It means you can see a GP within 20 minutes.
Wow. Mm. I know in Belgium, if you need a blood test, like if I want a thyroid test, for example, you can just book it and pay for it.
Yeah.
Whereas here, you can't. Well, you can, but they're expensive, private ones.
I guess the thing is that in all of the European countries, well, certainly the EU countries anyway, they all have very similar systems of healthcare, which is mostly provided by private hospitals
yeah.
and through insurance-based systems run by the governments, and it's all free at the point of use. You know, the German system, the Swiss, the Dutch,
Spanish,
they're all based on the similar thing. None of them copy the NHS.
No.
In fact, nobody in the world copies the NHS. The two outliers in health in the world are the American system and the British system.
Mm.
Everybody else has systems that work. Yeah.
Well, there I go. Again, yeah, we're following America.
No, we don't. We're totally the opposite to America.
We follow America with food and obesity now.
No, we're totally the opposite. America has fully chargeable, although, funnily enough, they actually spend more on public health than we do, but they have fully chargeable healthcare where you have to have health insurance. Yeah. Mm. We have the NHS. No other country operates either of those schemes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every other country in the world, every other advanced country anyway, has insurance-based schemes that are provided by private suppliers, mandated by the government, and free at the point of use.
Yeah. Because my health insurance is rubbish now. Premium has gone up to $599 a month.
Yeah.
Because I used it for the AstraZeneca injury.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not, they won't pay for AstraZeneca injury. You're not, they won't, but so, you know, we had to go around. But because I've had to have scans.
Yeah. Health insurance is just beyond doable. I've had
luckily Simon's here. We'll be talking to him about all
yeah,
this.
But he doesn't do health insurance. So
no.
So
pet
we're fine.
Insurance?
No,
oh, because that's the other bugbear.
No. I've had health insurance for the last 30 years. I've only ever made two claims on it, and they were both dental.
Mm.
I can't afford to renew it. I'm 70 years old, and I'm going to need it, and now I can't afford it. They're just putting the prices up, go up every year.
Well, I said
three years ago, I was paying $2,500, and I now want $6,000 to renew it. I just can't afford it. Sarah Marsh Collins been on.
Yeah, saw. Carry on.
She says, "I'm here, Vanilla Webb and Jules, tuned in for your tax news.
Not too tardy."
Yeah, yeah. She says, "In recent survey of 71 countries, the UK came second to last for mental health. Only Uzbekistan was below us. Even Ukraine and Russia, who are at war, the residents are happier than us." I know, it's scary, isn't it? I know, it's just really scary, the state that this country's got into. It really is.
And Tracy Ferguson says, "I always cook from scratch where possible, but yes, sugar is everywhere." She says, "I eat more good fats." So it's like me, the old fashioned, again, like you said, Simon, like my mum, when we grew up, we'd have dripping. Yeah.
Or a bit of dripping on toast.
Yeah, well, yeah. I cook in the fat from our roast, you know, and people that are using margarine are bonkers. It's like basically plastic.
Mm.
Cook with butter if you're going to have anything, or olive oil. She says, "I eat more good fats, less fruit and less carbs. And your description, Jules, resonates too, of feeling more oiled. My hip, back and knee joints.
She's always well oiled.
My hip, back and knee joints are not always in chronic pain as they were before, especially with our cold, damp weather. Well done. So we're both well oiled, Tracy. Yeah. And I think I agree. Cooking from scratch and being prepped, being prepared. Mm. So I've always got a slice of beef or something. And
it's really difficult though, isn't it? I mean, I know Facebook is Facebook, but if you log on to Facebook, I don't know about you, but I get inundated with different things telling me about how to lose weight and, you know, diets, and every single one of them is different. And every single one of them, allegedly promoted by a doctor, tells you the total opposite of what the last one said. Yeah. They go, you should never eat this. Okay. You should only eat this. Hold on, they just told me to never eat.
Coffee's good for you. Coffee's bad for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But we're on decaf, Paul and I, and actually decaffeinated coffee is one of the worst because of the processes it goes through. It's actually pretty toxic. Mm. So I've had to source organic decaf. Otherwise, I'm just doing one thing for better health, but actually making my health worse by taking a load of toxins. Coffee beans can get really, really sprayed. You need to be really careful what you drink.
Yeah. See, and we've been talking all about, the high taxes and lack of infrastructure and all kinds of things. And then you get something like this, right? The rebranding of one of Canterbury's most historic areas to the West End has divided opinion, with some baffled by the association with its glitzy London namesake. The marketing strategy for St Dunstan's, which has been placed in a new business quarter, aims to promote the bustling streets to shoppers. Right. St Dunstan's at the Westgate in Canterbury has been known for that as over 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So the council must be so dripping in money, they can't think of what else to do. So they go, I know, let's rebrand it to a completely nonsense name that has no bearing on Canterbury whatsoever.
What are they calling it? No.
The West End.
No.
Yeah. Which
How is, bland.
Which is a region.
It could be anywhere.
It's a region of London that London is famous for having. Traders said to be in support of the designation, but others say it does not properly pay homage to the area's heritage and character. The initiative is being promoted by the Canterbury Business Improvement District, which works towards improving the city as a way of celebrating its food, shopping, arts and entertainment. It's not doing it for me.
No. Well, when I was last in Canterbury, 2-3 weeks ago, it was bleak.
Yeah.
So that bit, you know, where the market traders used to be outside M&S and around there is bland. It's just concrete. Have you been, Simon, recently?
I have, yeah. It's not the city it used to be.
No, there's no trees. There's no... What did they, and how much did they spend on that?
Yeah.
But to me, it's just a concrete... bland, ugh. And then a lot of homeless people in the things, boarded up shops. Mm. When I think about why I'm going to Canterbury, there's not much there. There's lots for tourists. You know, you can eat, you can have coffee, you can drink. But what's there for the locals, you know, to make me want to spend, you know, £4, £5, £6 parking?
Yep.
What's there?
Yep.
Fenix is struggling, I think. It was empty. Yep. We've lost Debenhams, of course, and
Nason's.
Nason's is gone.
Yeah, Topshop has gone. Monsoon is gone.
Yeah.
So
again, this is a long debate that you can have. Where people confuse things. Yeah, people talk about saving the high street. Yeah, but then they get very confused over what it is they're actually saving. The high street's gone. Mm. There's nothing to save. It moved. Yeah. If you want to do retail shopping, you go to a shopping mall. Yeah.
Well, I don't. I hate shopping malls.
Yeah, but you don't do retail shopping anyway. You shop locally. So basically, if you want, you know, normal people will go to Blue Water or Westwood.
I can't bear it. I get to Blue Water, Westwood I want to lie down and run away.
Yeah. Or Westwood Cross or something like that. Yeah. So retail high streets are a dying thing, apart from a few small independent shops. It's mostly entertainment now. Coffee bars, pubs, restaurants, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's fine if you've got lots of money.
Why?
Because it costs money to go to entertainment places and bars and restaurants. And a lot of people are not eating out.
It costs money to shop in shops as
But sometimes you need a pair of shoes. They're crucial. But out for a meal.
I'm online.
We went for breakfast on Sunday. You'd be able to try them on, wouldn't you? We went for breakfast on Sunday, and because I don't have bread, I had scrambled egg, avocado and bacon. Mm. And it was such a small portion because, of course, you know, new husband had it with doorstep, lovely crusty bread. Yeah. So I had to go home and eat something else, right. You know, and that was, I think it was $14.95.
Yeah.
Crazy. And that's Whitstable. And actually, why do people go to Whitstable for the independent shops?
Yeah.
Paul Andrews.
What's that got to do with the price of bread?
Well, because you're saying the high street's gone. It made me
it's
feel,
gone. It's
made
when?
Me feel very sad.
No, why?
There are still, I go to Deal, I go to Hythe. Mm. Why do I go to those places?
What did I say?
Because they've got lovely independent shops.
Well, what did I say?
You said it's gone. And
apart
it's,
from the independent shops.
Yeah, but you said it's coffee shops, restaurants, yeah. Pubs.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been up a high street recently?
Yes.
Well, count them.
Yeah. Butchers.
There's no butchers in anybody's high street anymore.
Yes, yes there is. Whitstable has two butchers. I think we might have
Where
three
Where are they
butchers.
In Canterbury High Street?
No, there's not one in... There's
well,
one.
That's what I'm saying.
And what I said about Canterbury was, it's for tourists. It's not for locals.
Good.
Simon?
No comments.
But do you not see that if I go to Canterbury, what is there for me as a local? There isn't, as you said, there's no butcher. There's Greggs. I wouldn't dream of going to Greggs. But if I go to Whitstable or Hythe, there are local butchers, family-run butchers, bakers, and they're the high streets that people actually well, like.
Yeah, but there are still independent shops. I mean, yeah. Thinking of Canterbury, there's some quite nice family-run jewellers. There's rather nice gentleman's outfit.
Not that
I go in there much at all. Yeah. But
oh, well, you look like you
no,
do.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
What's
go
the name
there.
Of that gentleman's?
County Clothes.
County Clothes.
They've got a branch in Tenterton. And one in Sevenoaks and one in,
Tenterden has a thriving high street.
Yeah, there are still independent shops.
Yeah. Because they're independent shops. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that I believe that Canterbury City Council have ruined Canterbury. They've allowed it to just be, it's a cathedral city. Mm-hmm. It should be, have everything.
Yeah.
And of course the parking doesn't help.
Yep. Right. Property consultant Carter Jonas has launched a new office at Churchill Square Business Centre in Kingshill, Kent, marking its first expansion into the county. The office will initially accommodate 10 experts from the firm's infrastructure and energy and planning and development teams, as well as colleagues from its rural offering. They'll be led by Stephen Drennan, a partner on the infrastructure team, with 25 years of experience in the sector. Stephen has played a key role in strengthening the firm's compulsory purchase and compensation practice, acting on behalf of acquiring authorities and infrastructure clients across the southeast. So welcome to Kent, Carter Jonas, Property Consultants.
It's a great name, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that name. The award-winning Pretty Prep Studios has opened a wedding studio in Tunbridge, tucked away in a picturesque Grade 2 listed barn in East Peckham. I thought East Peckham was in London.
That's South Peckham.
Yeah. I never knew there was a different one. This studio...
I bet you don't know where it is.
Well, I know. It's near Tunbridge. In a barn. What?
Nothing.
Tell me.
It's near Paddock Wood. It's between Paddock Wood and Tunbridge.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Paddock Wood. Yeah, I know that. This studio emerges as a breathtaking, spacious haven, thoughtfully crafted to meet every need on your special morning. Four elegant styling stations. The struggle for mirror space and power outlets is a thing of the past. So they've got lighting to show you off in your wedding gear. And multiple individuals receive professional makeup services and abundant natural light is necessary. Did you put your makeup on with the natural light this morning?
I certainly did.
Alice, the owner of Pretty Prep Studios, shares the studio is not only visually stunning but also immensely practical, addressing common wedding day emergencies, essentials like a sewing kit, safety pins, umbrellas, and a steamer are readily available. The highlight for me is the extendable dressing tables offering ample space for makeup artists and hairdressers to work their magic. Well, good idea. So that's Pretty Prep Studios, and it is in Tunbridge, tucked away in East Peckham in a barn.
Fantastic. Sounds really good.
Yeah.
We've reached the point in the show where we're going to have a break. We're going to listen to some adverts, some music, and some bits and pieces. You got time to pop out and get a cup of tea and join us again in about 5 minutes' time, where we're going to be talking in depth to Mr. Simon Hammond of Morpheus Insurance.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll find out what he does, because he doesn't do pets and he doesn't do health.
Absolutely. He doesn't do anything you're going to moan about.
Does he do boats?
Which is lucky. Yeah.
Does he do boat insurance?
Well, we'll find out after this, won't we?
I can't wait.
Here we go.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business?